Thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for this passage, Lord, in the midst of the Psalms of Ascent, Lord, that just speaks to our heart, Lord, when it comes to building families. And Lord God, it speaks to all of us in whatever we build, Lord, that we can't build without you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take away all the distractions. Father, many of us, Lord, are tired. There's a lot going on in our lives, both good and challenging. And we ask, Lord, that your word would just speak to our hearts now this morning. And we ask that your spirit would just work, Lord, in each one of us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So take out your Bibles. Go to Psalm 127 if you are not there already. We are going to begin our new series this morning called Building Kingdom Homes. And we're going to talk about marriage, parenting, and growing together in Christ. And I want everybody to look up for a quick second, including Eunice. What I want to say to you guys, everybody look up. Some people said, you know, this is all about family, and, you know, I'm older now, I'm single, I'm this or I'm that, so I'll see you in the fall. And the point I want to say to you guys is the principles that we are going to learn that build kingdom homes are going to build each one of us in the character and in the form that Jesus Christ wants us to be. So just stay tuned. There is so much here that God says, and we're going to just going to kick that off this morning. I want to begin this morning, just kind of get us thinking about this. And how many people are like DIY people? Do it yourself, right? I see you, Greg Collins and Ed Jackson right there in the back, right? You know, there's a whole lot of us, right? And, you know, by the way, you know, Home Depot has a slogan. It says, how to get more done. And Lowe's added something, how to get more done for less, right? So everyone's, you know, it's kind of thinking our culture about do it yourself. And that word DIY. By the way, how many folks during the pandemic got a DIY haircut? Anybody got one, right? You know, thank God your hairdressers and your barbers, they fixed all that stuff, right? But we got DIY haircuts. And DIY is kind of cool, but there are certain things that you should never do yourself. Never do, right? Never do them. And by the way, some of you wives can think about your husbands, what they've tried to do, and then you had to call someone in. You know, I'll share a story. Years ago, and I praise God for my church family, and they helped me do this DIY job to my demise. But one day we had a problem with our plumbing. Anybody ever have plumbing issues, right? It's like, ah. So, You know, and by the way, you know, I've got the plunger. I'm trying to get this thing to go, and it's not working, right? You know how that goes. And you know, I'm telling Jane, don't worry, we got it. No big deal, right? And it didn't work. And so it turned out that someone in the church family, they lent me one of those power snakes. You guys know what a snake is? That we have one at the church. And by the way, I just used this not that long ago at our house, and it really worked where you hand crank it. But this thing was so backed up. Someone at the church said, don't worry, I got this power snake. You'll be good. So I borrowed the power snake, and you have to get these gloves because you're like jamming it down, and the machine is turning it. And all of a sudden, I heard this clunk. And that, by the way, is never good. It's never good. And you know what happened? On the end of the power snake is a cutting tool to cut through the clog. It broke off. So, I had to humble myself, DIY, and I had to call a plumber, and it cost me $500 to get the drain open. Yeah, it's like, dang, I can't believe it. So I say this, there's some things, don't do it yourself. Right, don't do it yourself. Yeah, only would have cost me a couple hundred, not 500, right? Yeah, still could, right? But when it comes to those things, I want to take us right to our eternal truth this morning. One of the greatest things that when we think about this issue is building a kingdom home is an imperative for the spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being of husbands, wives, children. A kingdom home is a place of security and stability in which parents and children discover truth, develop personally and deepen their relationships with God, family, and friends. That's what a kingdom home looks like, by the way, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're old, whether you're young. It's this place that God is building the character of his people. And I throw this out. A kingdom home cannot be built without the master kingdom builder, God. It is not a do-it-yourself project. Without God, all is vain. And I want us to kind of grab a hold of that for a second. Some of you guys are like, well, I don't have kids at this point. But think about whatever you are building in your life, it really can't be built without God in terms of a stable, successful venture. And, you know, I want to throw us just quick to a thought that we kind of put out there on YouTube always. But, you know, as believers in Christ, we all certainly are seeking to build a kingdom type of home on earth for our spouse, our children, our family, our friends. That's our goal. But you know what? It sure is not easy, and it's not even clear always what to do, is it? And I want to listen to God's word today as he kind of lays down a foundation for us to get started and to move in the right direction. The passage, we appreciate that was read so well by Moses this morning. We're going to focus on that in just a minute. I kind of want to share with you guys, and I'll go back a slide. Sarah, just take us back one if you would. Get a hold of this verse where it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And that's why the phrase we want to get a hold of, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, what we do is really a futile effort. How many folks, you ever done something, no matter what you do, it doesn't work? That's the definition of futility. So trying to do this by ourselves in our own strength, with our own power and our own wisdom, it's a futile thing. And the Lord kind of adds on to that in typical Hebrew parallelism, where he says a phrase first, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, he's kind of saying the same thing, the watchman stays awake in vain. And the point that he wants us to get across is to understand that we need God so much as we build. And I'll share with you kind of an interesting thing when I began to research this. In a Western European heritage, many families have a family crest that sort of represents their values or who they are. And it just so happens that the coat of arms of the city of Edinburgh, Scotland, actually adopted Psalm 127 as their coat of arms. And you can see it up at the top, and I'll share with you, this is actually in the city of Edinburgh. This is actually in their municipal complex. It says these words. It says, Nisi Dominus Frustra, which is Latin. And here's what it says. Without God, frustration. I like that, huh? Without God, frustration. And by the way, I don't mean frustration, our emotion of like, huh? You know, we have a lot of that these days, right? But without God, things don't work. They don't work. And if we're going to build kingdom homes without God, it's going to be something that doesn't work. It's going to be a failure. And I want to take us right now to the text as we look at this passage in Psalm 127. And let's just understand a little bit about the background. I want to share with you guys this passage and look in Psalm 127. Can you guys look at your Bibles and look at it on your phone as well? But underneath the Psalm 127 reference, there's what's called a superscript above many of the Psalms. And it says, a song of ascent of Solomon. And I want you guys to understand this group of Psalms, and there's 15 of them in this passage. It begins with Psalm 120 and it ends with Psalm 134. Is a group of Psalms that the nation of Israel, when they went back to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three most precious feasts of the year, they would sing these songs as they're in transit to go. And by the way, they would go up to Jerusalem. It was a climb. It was Jerusalem was elevated above much of the land below it. And as they would climb up, they would sing these songs and they would go over these principles of God that were the foundation of who they were as a people. By the way, as I think about this, this is something we're going to study probably down the road as a congregation, but I want us to consider the context of these Psalms of Ascent, and I also want to contemplate the author, Solomon, just for a second. And I want to give you guys a little bit of a flavor why the psalmist, and by the way, in this case, his name is Solomon, the wisest man who ever hit the face of earth other than Jesus. But why did he write these things? Why is it in the midst of these key songs that the people of Israel would sing that really were depicting who they were? And I want you to get a flavor for some of these songs that were sang by this people. And look what it says in Psalm 120, the very first one. It says, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." And I want to say this to us. We can't build a house without God because there's so many things that all I am left to do, all I have the ability to do is cry out. And I praise God when I cry out, God hears me. You know, and as I go to Psalm 121, and by the way, one of the most famous verses I see in Nelda, you quoted this 1,000 times to me, Mr. Nelda, right? But it says, "I will lift up my eyes," where, folks? "To the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And in the days of our lives, as we're trying to build our home and do all the things we need to do, isn't it great that we can look up and there's a God in heaven who has the power, the wisdom, and the ability, and the love, and the grace to help me in the midst of my problems? And then in Psalm 123, you get this theme, right? It says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant looks to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us." You know, and again, these are these songs of ascent that just move in our hearts. And Psalm 124 picks it up. Look what it says. It says, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side," let Israel now say, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive." By the way, everybody look up for a second. Think about that. If it wasn't for the Lord that was on your side and my side, where would we be now? Where would we be, right? And in the midst of all those things, Solomon writes this passage. And he says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain." It's futile. Can't be done. I want to just take a second. Just contemplate the author, Solomon, for a second. We mentioned he's the wisest man who ever lived, right? And interesting enough, you know, if you learn about Solomon, Solomon did so many interesting things. He built. He had a vision for so many things. And the scriptures in 1 Kings talk about Solomon a little bit. It says, "Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt." Let me step back. You know, Egypt's a place where there were great libraries and great learning, the pyramids, the kings. And it said, Solomon's wisdom was greater than all those things. And it says, "For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations." And look what it said Solomon did. It said he spoke 1,000 proverbs. By the way, we have a whole bunch in the book of Proverbs, don't we? He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which in some way, the passage Psalm 127:1 is like, could fit right into Ecclesiastes about the vanity of doing things without God. But look what it says. "But he also wrote some songs, and his songs were 1,005. Solomon wrote a bunch of songs as well that would just communicate to people at a level of their heart the important principles of the Word of God. And I want to say to you, one of his platinum songs is Psalm 127. "Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain." You know, that's the song that I hope, by the way, that song, we're not going to maybe sing this song. Maybe we could write something to it. We could do that down the road. But we're not going to sing that song. But I hope that phrase just resonates in our ears and our hearts as we move forward, that unless the Lord builds the house, it's a futile effort. We're not going to get there. We need God so much to get where we need to go. As husbands, as wives, as parents, as singles, as children, whoever we are, without God, we're not going to get anything done. And that's what he's trying to communicate to us. And, you know, I want to just take us quickly to this passage this morning and the blessing for building kingdom's home. There's really two ways to go here, right? There's a way of wisdom and there's a way of vanity or futility. And I want to say, I better look up for a sec. Haven't we all tried the way of futility? Yeah, you just heard my story. I did. I got this. How many times we say that? I got it. Don't worry about it. No problem. It's okay. And unless I'm entering the battle with God, I don't have it. It's not okay. And we better watch out. Right? And that's kind of the point that he wants us to get a hold of. We'll look at both sides of that coin this morning. So let's just kind of get a handle on the scripture here for a second, and we're going to focus on the first two verses. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is rain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. What is he talking about in this context? What is he really trying to say to us as we dive in and just think about these things? Everybody look up for a second. I want you guys to get this in your mind. Here's what God is not saying. God is not saying, just sit back on autopilot and let God do everything. Let me underline that phrase. God is not saying, sit back and do nothing and let him do it all. What he is saying is, everything that we do need to be centered on God, who he is, and what his word says. That's what he's trying to say, right? And by the way, I mentioned this earlier. I'll say it again real quick. He says, they labor in vain who build it. Then he kind of gives a second example, and I'll throw this out. In the Hebrew language, as we go through the Old Testament, especially in wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, the Hebrew authors used something they called it parallelism of thought. In other words, they would say a phrase one way, and they would say it a second way just to make sure we understood and we got it. So it was kind of for emphasis. It's like saying, you know, trust in the Lord, you better trust God. You know, they say it another way so we understand what that means. And that's what he says here. He says, you know, it's vain for us to labor, to work hard, and do everything possible without God. And it's vain to try to guard the city if you're a watchman unless God is really the one who's watching over the city. And he kind of drums that home. And by the way, look at verse 2 real quick. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. What's he talking about in this context? Here's what he's trying to say. In other words, you, if everything is about you and what you can do and your effort and your energy, it's futile to work 24 hours a day. It's futile to get up super early and try to beat everybody in. It's futile to stay up late after, you know, midnight unless God is in the picture. It doesn't make any sense, right? And I'll throw this out. And look, we use it. Look, everybody look up this phrase. Everybody look up. What's the next phrase? What's it say? To eat the bread of sorrows. You know what he's talking about? When we live life that way, when everything is about us and our energy and our ability and our knowledge and our wisdom, and we're trying to do it all and keep it all going and make it all happen, here's the problem. Guess what? Don't we just moan and groan and are down and are burnt out and are just experiencing just the drudgery, the futility, the difficulty of life? And he says, and by the way, some people say, you know, that's kind of like their badge of honor. You know, I was up all night last night. No offense, Eunice Bell. Because we heard Rachel, she said the soup was excellent. The food was great. It was a wonderful time. But she said, you know, like, we don't want to wear as a badge of honor, we're taking the wrong perspective and trying to do everything ourselves. And people do this all the time. I was up late. I was in first. I was the last to leave. I'm working 24 hours a day. I'm doing all these things. We kind of think that's like a badge of honor for us. It really just stokes our pride. Like, we're so important. We're so good. We work so hard. That's what we say all the time. But he says, it's just vanity. It's just futility. You're just wasting your time. If God is not in the picture in whatever you're building, especially your home, don't do it. Don't do it, right? And you might say, well, how do we get to that? Why is that so important? Here's this way of wisdom, by the way. Everybody, by the way, can anybody use a little less stress in their life? Yeah, amen, right? Everybody say, preach it, brother. Where's that at, right? And he says, look what he says, and we heard about this, right? Just a couple weeks ago, we studied Matthew 7, 24 to 27. He says, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who doesn't hear these things of mine and does not, let me back up, everyone who hears these things but doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And again, two choices, right? Am I going to work with God, or am I going to do it by myself on my wisdom, my knowledge, my strength, my power? And he says, man, don't do that. The wisdom is trusting an all-wise, all-knowing, loving God. That's the wisdom today. We want to slide down because the Psalms talk about this too. Look what Proverbs says. If we're going to build up our homes or build up anything in our life, he says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. In other words, don't commit your works to you. It's not about you or me. He says, commit it to the Lord and God will establish it. And I'll throw this down. I better cut. Write this down. Everything we do is about the glory of God. He says that in the New Testament. He says, do all things to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You write that down. And he says this. He says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Look up. Think about this for a second. How many people got a lot of plans, right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go make some money over here and over here and over here, and I'm going to be set. But he says, there's a lot of plans in our heart, but he says, the Lord's counsel, that's what's going to stand up over time. It's going to stand the test of time like your and my plan will never do. He says this in Proverbs 24. He says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's be honest, and guys, let's just take a peek. Let's think about this together. Here's the thought. Do you guys and do I have all the wisdom required to build our homes? To be a really good husband for me? To really raise my kids, and individually they're all different, to know how to do that exactly right? Do I have the power to pull that off and the energy and the knowledge? No, right? But he says, this is how it's established. And the only place I'm going to go get that is from a God who is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-present, and omnipotent, all-powerful, as we studied a couple weeks ago. That's where I got to find that. And then he says, and let the beauty, this, by the way, this is the prayer of the author of Psalm 90, by the way, who was Moses, and he's, Moses prayed this. He said, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In other words, if you want to do something that's going to last, if you want to build your home and your family or your work or whatever you're building today, ask God to establish. By the way, wasn't the pandemic an amazing test of strength? there are people that are not here. There are businesses that are not here. There are just so many things that are just gone because there was no power and strength to endure. With God, we find that power and strength to endure, right? And he says that. And he continues right in this text, and he just says, the way of wisdom is this: work hard, but depend on God. Notice in the book of John, John wrote, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. This is Jesus speaking. He says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. So stop and think about this for a second. If we're going to build our homes without God, we can't do it, Jesus said. And then James, he says these words, right? This is a warning, by the way. James is very much like New Testament wisdom literature. He said, there was a man, he said, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go do such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you who boast in your arrogance, all boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. But the idea, right, is don't we do that sometimes? We're going to go do this and we're going to do that, and you just wait and see how successful we are. But God says, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And that is just so clear, right? And we experience that all the times in our lives. Sarah, if you just click me, I'm a little stuck. And I encourage you, right? Proverbs said this, do what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's probably faulty. And in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. And by the way, when we're building our home, God, please direct my path, because I know mine's going to be off, right? My GPS is not all there. And I want to throw this down. Remember I mentioned about that idea of the sorrows that we endure and we wear as a badge of honor? Notice, by the way, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, when we follow the Lord, by the way, this is the last part of the chapter where we find Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. The last part of that chapter, look what it says. And just look at verse 24, it says, and when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. So what I want to throw out to us is, when we walk with the Lord, when we let him drive, when we follow his principles and his word, when he builds the house with us, he's going to allow us to have rest. I don't know about you. Isn't that a good thing to have? Man, rest is precious. We haven't been experiencing a whole lot of that sometimes, right? We got to get a hold of that. The way of vanity. The way of vanity, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And I want to challenge us, that way of vanity, you know, it looks a little bit like this. Look what Ecclesiastes said. And by the way, this is Solomon's greater work other than Psalm 127. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In other words, everything we do on this earth by ourselves without God is an exercise in futility. It doesn't really have anything that lasts. And I want us to just grab that, grab a hold of that, right? And Luke chapter 2, right? Luke chapter 12, excuse me, he wrote about this. He said, and Jesus gave a story, and he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. Remember this? Remember the rich guy? And his fields are just overflowing, and he's just like, man, this is just amazing. I'm amazing. Look what's going on. And he says, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But look what God said. He said, God said, soul, you got this wrong. And he called him a fool, and he said, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And I'll throw this out. You know, we can work and work and work and accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. And guess what? One day, it will not be ours. And I heard about this from my kids. You know, when Jane and I, when we get promoted to heaven, I think they're gonna call the company. They're going to put that big dumpster in the driveway. And all the things that we accumulated are going to go right in. Right? There might be one or two things they keep, but most things are going right in. And they're going right to the landfill. And they're going to have to pay money to haul them away. Right? You know, think about that for a second. Like, isn't that sort of the futility of life? We're gathering and we're gathering and we're gathering. And, you know, we have a yard sale here and there because we can't fit it in the house, but we keep on gathering. Right? But at the end of the day, and by me and God, we talked about this too, right? His kids said the same thing. They must have got together. Maybe they're going to get a deal on the dumpster. I don't know. But, like, that's the futility of life, right? That's how it really is. And we got to understand that. So I'm going to throw this out. As we enter this series, let's let the Lord build the house. You know, by the way, whether it's God's house here, your house, your business, your life, your plans, without God, it's all vanity. Amen? And we are going to stop there, and we are going to go to the Lord's table. What we'll talk about as we enter our series, he talks about the fact that children are a blessing from God, and they are. They have tremendous value that we need to value in our culture and in our families. We're going to talk about that coming up. But I want us all today, let's grab a hold of this issue that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain.